If you had to describe the Ghanaian music industry today with an inanimate object, what would it be?
Ghana's music industry is the emperor in his new clothes.
It doesn't exist. It's not there.
Yeah, the clothes don't exist, but the emperor is balling.
It's balling.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean?
I understand.
He's like, he thinks he's wearing some, like, yeah. But we are just seeing a fat belly.
Welcome, guys, to another exciting episode of the Sincerely Accra podcast. My name is Joseph Inti. Of course, I'm back to cause chaos in a good way. Say with me. And I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR Network, premier podcast hosting network in Idaho, Ghana. I also want to give a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante Ofori. Big things. Yeah. On today's episode, I mean, you've read the title, but I just, you know, that's a mystery. Those of you that listen to the audio without checking the title, let's build it up for you, okay? Today we're bringing you someone very special, someone very interesting, someone very iconic, and someone that also lives in my hood. You people don't give Dansoman any kind of credit, but finding out that he comes from Dansoman, lives there right now, is everything. And I also want to add, he describes himself as the KK Kabobo Cassette Daba. Also describes himself as the Na for Forcing Breast Grabber, the Dansoman Reciter, Buzanga Bobo. I'm trying to get through this without laughing. Buzanga Bobo Rider, the Slang Pigeon Cockney, what?
Talker.
Take it away. Do you remember the lyrics?
On a good day, yes. But today, I've been up since 4 a.m. So,
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mensa! What's up, Mensa?
Please, just a disclaimer. The now for forcing breast grabber with consent.
It didn't age well, eh?
Yeah. Please. It did not.
It did not age well, yeah. This is like from 2010,
yeah,
right?
When I heard you say, I was like, who, me?
Yes, you.
Me, I'm cancer.
I have a quick question.
Yes.
You guys, I hope you know that your interview with Abiku Santana, that Atu interview, it's considered pop culture classic. I hope you know.
I found out later, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I want to know, did you really walk away from a $100,000 deal to keep the name Fucking Boys?
We did.
It's true.
We did. I mean, sometimes people want more than just to be a part of something. People want control.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like, how much of yourself do you want to give up for money or for the clout or whatever it is? That's what it's all about.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? I'm sure you.
I'm fully aware.
Yeah.
People say, we like what you're doing. Can we sponsor? As soon as they come, no. Okay, right. Remove this person. Put this person here.
How do you think we got here in the first place?
Exactly. They know who you're in the year of an
Obaya. I feel Obaya as a son.
Anyway, guys, listen, when I was doing my research, I didn't know this until now, that your father was a guitarist in Usibisa.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Then you are related to Kofi Ansa.
Yes.
My first dream job was to be a fashion designer.
Really?
Yes. I remember Kofi Ansa. He used to have that boy right in the middle right here. And so every time I see him, I was like, yo. Yes. Yes. And then I heard you are also related to Kwao Ansa.
Yes.
Labru in African Ports, right?
Yes.
And then his cousin is someone that works in Hollywood as well, an actor.
Yes.
And then he's Mensa Ansa, iconic. Do you know that Cause of Money is the first, it came out before Beyonce's project. That's what I'm trying to say.
Sure did.
They did it first. No, so the question I want to ask is like, what is it like when you guys like meet up, family gathering, you know, what is the conversation? Like, cause you guys are like a bunch of creatives, you know, growing up with, what was that like?
You mean like the answers?
The answers. Yeah.
The response is so disappointing.
Oh,
is no. That we don't meet up.
Not even at like the funerals and the birthdays.
Oh, Charlie. The last uncle, I love you, daddy, I love you. But the last time those siblings were around, they were using very, can you guys swear on your show?
Oh yeah. Fuck shit, penis, vagina. Just go ahead.
Thank you. One, and these are guys in their 80s.
Right.
They were just, and they had lost their sister. So I think they're upset, you know. So let me just add this because I feel like we've given all the accolades to the men in the family, but, all my uncles elder sister, who's Felicia Abanu, Felicia Ansah, before she got married. He was Ghana's first professional photographer. And so was like, you know, was Nkrumah's photographer for a very long time. I had her first photo studio in Accra. And so actually, if you look at all, like a lot of the photos from like the 60s, 70s, from photo studios, you know those pictures of our grandparents?
Yes.
Where they're sitting behind.
Very poor. Yes,
and they were like, Emma Shetikwani Adiano. 9 out of 10 times, my aunt took that picture.
Wow.
So it's Felicia Aban Studios.
So Crazy Busy just like runs through the family.
Also, insanity.
Good insanity. What did you say?
So last time they were together to bury their sister, there was, motherfucker, you fuck shit bullshit. Yes.
No, why something had happened.
No. They were mad.
They were mad.
Yeah. So it's intense. The love is there.
Right.
But also it's intense.
But it's intense. There any like support when you were starting out? Cause I know you've had a very, should I say, tumultuous relationship with formal education.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like,
it's hardcore. It's been, yeah.
Did they get it or was it still? Cause I know you said your mom was very go to school.
Yeah. But it's a bit of it's a two-sided thing because in the same way that she was like, go to school, my mom has been very supportive. Mm-hmm. She's been very cautious, but she's like, okay, so this is what you want to do. Okay, then let's do this one properly. So it's about, I think for her, what she kind of inculcated in me is that if I wasn't going to go the traditional educational route or academic route, I treat whatever it is that I'm doing mm-hmm. like it was academic or, you know, in a very kind of studious kind of research, experimental, like immerse yourself
in the work.
Things or else don't waste my time. Don't waste my money. You are not my son.
And I think it's evident in your work.
I mean, yeah. It makes me a pain in the ass though.
Really?
For those who work with me.
Well, listen, perfectionism. Oh,
yeah.
You have to do your best. Okay, Meza, do you remember this?
Oh, I probably do, but the answer is no.
When I step to the scene, just watch the full stutter.
I'll be cutting through your crew like knife cutting through butter. That nigga SHY be the first to test ya. The dreadest motherfucking judge like Sylvester.
Yeah!
Stallone.
Where
the mango
is that
from? Is Saloon. This one I just added my own.
No, but where is the rap from? Tell the people.
Oh my God. This is one of my first recorded rapsises.
How old were you?
Oh, bro. Let's not do this.
No.
Oh. Yeah. I would say maybe about 15.
Yeah.
And yeah. And without a cause. Not even a rebel. Just without a cause. You know? Yeah. I had the opportunity to go into a studio, Campside Studios.
Mm.
Shout outs to, what's his name? Apiatus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
From way back.
Apiatus was a yo producer.
Hey, I've been asking like.
Yeah. Cause he was recording all the early, like, you know, before Hip Life, a lot of us were kind of like trying the yo raps just to figure things out, you know? Mm-hmm. And he was recording a lot of like the local rap groups and Suman groups, all those kind of things. Yeah.
Oh.
Puffer jackets under 48 degrees. Yeah.
Hey, listen, Steve.
Yeah, make it work. Yeah.
No, so how did rap come to you? I read that your mom taught you how to play the piano at 8. So I'm thinking, okay, I played the piano. Why didn't he end up also being some kind of instrumentalist?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no.
How did rap happen?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know anybody who, as a young person, was introduced to rap music that didn't get like completely intoxicated by it, you know, at that time, because there was nothing else. Like for the culture, as a young person, seeing like young people doing cool stuff, talking about things that made you ask questions. Like I'll hear like a rap group, I'll talk about Malcolm X. And I was like, what's that? Or, you know, describe things in a way that I'd never. And okay, so let me go back on your question.
Yeah.
My brothers introduced me to rap.
Your brothers?
My older brothers.
Okay.
All my older siblings are big hip hop heads or were hip hop heads. But because of the way I was raised separate from my brothers, it's like my older brothers, my mom was hardcore, super strict. But by the time she'd gone to me, I was already too stubborn. Mm-hmm. And also she was tired.
Yeah.
So I got away with a lot, which meant that I also allowed my ego to really blossom. So even though my brothers are more like knowledgeable, like as musicians, like playing instruments, like creative and whatnot, I'm the one with the big ego. So I was the one who's like, I can record. Look at me, I'm a rapper. And they look at me like, I'll kick your ass any day, you know? So yeah, I mean, my brothers introduced me to rap, jazz music, manga, anime. Mm-hmm. Like everything I know is off of my older siblings.
Who are some of the artists that your brothers were listening to? The hip hop guys that they were listening to?
Heavy D and the Boys.
Okay.
Have I lost you there already?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I might know some names, but I've never listened to them. But feel free, because, you know, they're hip hop.
Jiggy, Biggie,
oh,
Biggie.
Oh, I know yes. that from Mr. Ibu. Yes. Big Mama. Okay. Are you one of them?
Yes,
like
yes,
me?
Exactly. Okay, yes. Okay. But that was his most commercial album. Before that, he had like some really incredible projects, and he was producing a lot of, like, you know, Mary J. Blige, mm-hmm. a lot of like writing for a lot of artists. Mm-hmm. And he himself released like an incredible album called Blue Funk. I was listening to like the old, really old stuff, like, Pete Rock, Public Enemy, Leaders of the New School. They are not just bands that you don't know. They are connected to things that
you know now. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So for instance, Leaders of the New School is where Busta Rhymes came from.
He was in that group?
Yes.
Okay.
Most people don't know that Busta Rhymes was in a boy band. Yes. Oh. I mean, a rap group. It was more or less a boy band.
Bro, listen, I'm getting educated.
Yes. Yes, man. And this is super old school, Redhead, Kimping, I'll Be Sure, like 90s stuff. Okay. That was even beyond, like, it was before my time, but because I was so young and I spent so much time following my brothers around, mm-hmm. I just kind of started absorbing. And that's like my thing, like to absorb. Like I absorb a lot around me, what people are doing, how people are doing things.
Right.
That's my, yeah.
Which rap song would you say that you heard and you were just like, oh, I want to do this? Like, can you cast your mind back?
It wasn't a rap song, but I rapped it.
What was it?
Michael Jackson's Bad.
You know that. Oh, okay.
I could rap it.
Really?
I won a rap competition rapping the lyrics.
Oh, did they not know where it was from?
Oh, Nagana, I didn't ask. Come to me, media 4 minutes of crap.
You gotta do it for us right now.
No, please. I don't remember it. I don't remember. I really don't. Your bud is mine. Already is a problem.
It's a problem.
Yes. So
I heard that's why Prince didn't want to be in the music
yes,
video.
Yes. Because they were good. He
was
going to
be there. Yeah. He was like, your butt
was the one
is
that was
mine.
Going to be had. It's like Wesley Snipes' butt was going to be my butt. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I mean, and, bro, I went through all of the stuff, man. I mean, I was like a big Vanilla Ice fan. Mm. You know, before I understood the kind of the political and the constructs around, like, you know, whites, rappers kind of,
I don't know where you're going with this.
You know, when they culturally appropriate.
Things. Oh, okay, okay,
yeah,
okay.
That's
okay.
The one I was, I'm struggling for words today.
Way before all of that.
Yeah.
When we used to give Eminem and Co a chance.
Yes. See. People were upset already. Snow, all the time. Informer, you know, say, I'll keep bum bum there.
Oh, I know that one.
Bro. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Tell you, we are trying to age me. Oh.
No, we're not. No, you are not. You're trying to age me down. Okay, Mister, let me tell you how I discovered you.
Right.
There used to be a show on TV called Allo Buzz.
Right.
And I think what they used to do was they would show you a preview of music videos that just dropped. And you're supposed to vote for the top five. And then during the actual show, you get to watch the talk. You know, back then we couldn't, internet access was very sketchy. You have to go to the 50 pesos, 30 minutes.
Cafe,
So that's the only way you get to watch it, right? And I had just fallen in love with Destiny's Child. Uh-huh. And they had released, Lose My Breath or something like that. I don't remember. There was a Destiny's Child song. And I was like, I want this because I didn't have money to lose.
Right.
How am I going to do that? I'm young. So I'm like, I really want this song to win. And then in the previews, they played If You Don't Know. And I knew VIP. I didn't know who the hell you were.
Right.
And then I remember, I'm going to be honest, guys.
Let's go.
And I remember on the day they show you the songs that made it to the top, Destiny's Child was the last one. And I think your song was like number 3.
Right.
And so I had to sit there and watch it. And
sit
I was
and
like,
watch it.
Yeah, because I'm like, I don't know you.
To watch it.
I didn't come here for you. You know what I mean?
Destiny.
So I'm just sitting there and then I'm like, wow, who is this guy? He's like, Inumjadi and Yemistal. If I don't get, I'll go let you know. So I was like, who is this guy? And everybody keeps talking about the microphone on fire. Right now, when I look at it, I'm like, what the hell? But back then,
bro,
it was like, yo.
And in Japan, you know, and you're the star. Uh-huh. Minim se minim, pitya men dada. I'm killing you softly with just a smile. Oh, I bring it there, but I made tata. Guess I'm a poop and I'm a mission cooked. Oh, be back, I'm a mess, I so smooth. And if she done crying, I'll vote. Who's your rough car? Hey, for your own betterment. Hot like fire, just as she sit to set peppermint. Since I'm a big one, he me, take me blind slides. No, please, I'm a little friendly. And Bobby will buy a clubbing every day. And been a cry to pigeons, sing NFL, Eddie Blade. Why you find Boko Boko, Sam, Doko Doko, me part, you find sing Bob, yeah, Nico Toko. Open rough for sing, bear my office, I can be hello, my name is Kennedy. Do you still remember me? So I'm a new Uno, Uber, Germany, my papa. Charlie, what do you know? What? Feeling nine wild, chilling nine styles, we mini my tribe. Oh, mommy, I love when we practice, tell me real white. Mini nine, bring that, when you can understand the guy has a red eye. VIP, where you at? What's up, me why? Say what? Say what? What? What?
Do you know the scene that actually gets me? The party scene.
Right.
They shot it in the Louvre. Yeah, through the Louvre Blades. Camera,
yes,
right?
Yes.
But
yes.
Then that was a big deal to me.
Yeah.
So I was like, yo, who is this guy?
Yeah,
that's when I started to pay attention to Mensa.
Yeah. That video was badass, man. I mean, I was.
Ibrahim
Ohinijan. Yeah.
How much did it cost you? Because those guys were big back then.
So you know what? I was really lucky. They with DKB kind of formed a sort of coalition.
DKB?
David Kwame Bolton. So DKB.
Oh, David Bolton David Studios, Mid Flats.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Hey, dance smart.
Hey, I was in block two.
Yo, I this reference warms my heart.
Yeah.
It really warms my heart.
Really?
Somebody would say, oh, David Bolton, oh, VIP or this, but you were like, Snit Flats.
Yes.
Like, bro, I know exactly where the place is. And I just like, I felt.
Well, I went to St. Bernadette. I was at
no.
I know you went to Martin de Porres. You know what we used to call you guys when we were walking home?
Martin de Pompom.
Oh my God. And then Abby Maria was Abby Malaria. Yeah.
Oh, Christian Omniadia.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, so you know it.
Yeah. You were telling me about how the music video came about. Yeah, you said you were.
Yeah. So basically, Ohinijan Abraham, shout out to Abraham, who's always like he used to give me such a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Abraham instantly like because he. So when Reggie first came out, Abraham was on who's shooting his videos,
right.
All that stuff. So he'd already been doing it. He shot all the kind of international-like videos. You know, he's London-born, raised, but lived in Ghana. His family was very prominent. So he really was pushing the culture, you know, and kind of re-identifying it and bringing the Ghanaian flex to it. I have to give this background. So by the time I came on board, Abraham really understood what it meant to have talent, but to not have extra drive.
Oh, okay.
Drive. So he used to really like give me such a hard time, you know? Like, oh, come on, you can do this better. Come on, man. Do you need me to tickle your balls?
He was a Simon Cowell.
He was horrible to me, man. But he always gave you like what he was giving was valuable time.
Right.
And David Bolton also was like, after pestering for years and years and years, he finally allowed me to record in the studio. So that song was recorded in Snit Flats.
Oh, okay.
Cool. Shout out, you know?
And I was listening to the song. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right. You produced it, right?
No, so I had what I wanted to be sampled and how I wanted to be replayed, but I didn't know how to use the equipment.
So there's a sample. Because I hear Love Don't Cost a Thing.
Oh, no.
Really?
No.
It's not?
No, I released that. That was way before Love. So Love Don't Cost a Thing is J-Lo.
Yes.
How dare she?
Wait, that came out after?
Yeah, dude. I came out before that.
Okay, my bad. Because I was listening to it. I heard it.
When did Love Don't Cost a Thing? Yes, it's like a chord progression that David and I kind of really like. Shout out to David Bolton.
Hey, J-Lo.
Yeah.
You sampled
yourself.
You sampled if you don't know where. Okay, then I take it back. What was the sample used then?
So even the sample, we didn't even, it was more like a guide.
Oh, okay.
Like how I wanted to feel. And then, you know, we had a live guitarist kind of play the ding ding ding, and then we kind of, you know, so that was all that was live and chopped up. That was like David Bolton. Yeah. He really, because he didn't also, the thing is, David Bolton was not like a hip hop head, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not really getting what I was trying to tell him about how important sampling is. He was just like, no, we don't have to sample. We can replay us. Oh, David, I want to sample. I want to be like the cool guys, you know? So I'm glad that he kind of allowed it to kind of go in that direction. It's such an original beat.
Yeah,
so,
no, that record is very nice. Like when it starts playing, you just have to move.
Yeah, you know. Dope,
And your rap was so, what's the guy on that left VIP?
Yes, Promzy.
Promzy.
Yeah.
His rap was tight too.
He's insane.
His rap was, I was like, yo.
Promzy is insane. Yeah. He's like super competitive, super talented, super inspired.
Yeah, shout out to Promzy.
All the time. Like the guy could be like, hey, mister, what's up? Then he just like punches him like, tell who blam you.
No, I'll bounce.
Yeah,
no.
More rough.
Yeah. Yo, yeah. VIP, like I was obsessed with that group. Yeah. I was so sad when he stood up.
It was amazing. Like I watched them, like I was saying, like observation, like I watched those guys record two albums before I got to do one song in the studio.
And I was about to get to that. So you were in the studio, you've been around, you were watching several artists work.
Yes.
Tic Tac.
Yes.
Veggie.
I was there.
VIP.
Yes.
All of these people.
Yeah.
Is that how production started for you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the more I watched them record and I observed, well, it made me a better, like, not better than them, but a better recording artist because I was seeing all the techniques.
Mm.
But then I was also interested in how the engineers were guiding these artists to reach the point that they wanted to reach or to kind of achieve their vision. You know what I mean? Like you can be an artist and have an idea and go into the studio and completely flop the idea.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a good recording engineer who can guide you and kind of be like, oh, why don't you do ad libs here? Double the vocals. Why don't you bring more energy? Bring the, you know, step back a little bit. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I watched all the
stuff.
Animate
your voice here.
Thank you. You know?
Which is something I like about your stuff.
It's
sometimes
it's crazy.
The difference between I am here and I am here.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, it's crazy.
And you do that so well.
It's crazy. Like, you know, that's the thing that we discovered like with FOK and Boys is that we realized that the energy in your voice carries to the listener.
It does.
So if you smile and you say hello on a camera, the listener, there's a kind of timber or like a frequency in your voice that shows that there's a smile behind the hello.
Come on, timber. Come on.
Sure, man.
Come on.
Met to broth.
Come off.
Now someone raised. You know?
Yeah. Bro, before we get to FOK and Boys, which we're going to touch briefly, I wanted to know, you, TikTok, all these people you were around, is there any popular song that you were in the studio for when they were making? I want to know some of them. Because, I mean, oh, bro, for VIP.
Yeah, I mean.
Which ones?
Which X-Do's entire album. So
okay,
let me see. Do you know one song that I was in the studio for?
No, you
I was lucky to be in the studio for Koko Oko.
Is that Asiri Jamna?
Thank you.
I remember that music video so much because it was a door on the grass advertising cycle. Yes. Oh
bro.
My goodness.
Like our lack of, or our lack of, I'll say, of documentation for artists and music that we have grown to love is such a shame because that song was probably, well, it was produced, recorded. To my memory, I was young, so maybe I'm saying something completely false. But when I saw it being recorded, mixed, and released on the same day.
It was, what?
The same day.
Really?
The same day. By the time the song was finished, in the evening, it was on Joy. Banana sana sell ya but chop my jam and
Wow.
This is the level of Dasibre Jama.
Wow.
Like, how is this not genius?
I'm actually lost for it. I thought, like, you know, labor of love, 2-3 weeks.
Nah, those guys were not
one
playing.
One day?
Those guys were not playing.
That's wild.
It was not, what's it? Slip. Slip Music. So Slip was managing, that's how I got to be there. Slip was managing both VIP and Dasibre Jama.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, the VIP connect, yeah. You know?
Wow.
Also recorded in Danceman.
Also recorded in guys, listen, most of your major hits came from Danceman.
Absolutely.
Y'all have no idea.
Absolutely.
Cause I know Tic Tac and Cocovelli and Samini were Danceman.
Oh, Danceman.
I know.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nana King. Danceman. Exhibition, just behind Exhibition Runabout. That's where Nana King lived.
Anyway. I know. You said on the Culture Daily, show that you left Ghana because the sound was changing. And I just want to know, like the mentor that I have come to understand through your art, that should not be something that challenges you. I feel like you're the kind of person that like, okay, the sound is changing, but I'm still going to be in this lane and give them what they don't know that they want. So then I want to know what really influenced that decision to leave?
No, but that's what I did. You know, if you're in an environment that's changing in a, in a direction that doesn't suit you, you have to find your environment.
Oh.
So that's what I did so that I could continue to do different things. Cause if that change becomes normalized.
Okay.
Then I'll end up like, you have to be in a different environment to be really inspired. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For me, that's.
What year did you leave Ghana? I know. You were away for like 7 years, 8 years.
In my life?
No. When you know,
when
after.
I first steps.
Yeah. After you came out with.
20. So, do you know, I didn't even stay around to see. If you don't know his video.
Really?
Released. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't stay around for it.
Okay.
So I left.
So that's early 2000s.
Yes, sir. 2000. So I had a stint in 1998 and I came back and a few months after I was like, peace.
So what were you doing?
When I went to Abloche.
Yeah. What were you doing?
Oh God. What was that? So the plan was for me to go to school.
Oh, isn't that when you went to school for like 1 week or something? And
yeah,
stuff?
You know, guys, like, you know, my mom really, once again, my mom says every time I do interviews, I mention her name. I was like, bro, it was me and you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she was really ready to like sell a lot of interesting things for me to go into Middlesex.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd done like a kind of an orientation thing. And I was like, mom, you know, 99% of what they're going to be teaching, I've already done that and I'm doing it now. In hindsight, I should have made her sell those interesting things so that I could have studied something else.
Mm.
But I was so obsessed and kind of like tunnel vision. Like, this is what I want to do. This is like, I couldn't see anything else. Mm. And so if university wasn't going to serve me, I was like, okay, I'm going to go into the real world and kind of just start working doing that. That didn't quite pan out because I had bills to pay. I was living with my cousin who also was like a big music head. And he was like, he had fed me so much music when we were teenagers. Actually, I've known him since I was 3 years old. Mm. And he's one of those cousins who, like when we were in Ghana, he lived in Europe and he would come on holidays and then come and enjoy with us and leave.
And leave.
And then,
yeah,
like, yeah, my kuhun, but omo ba, hana, normal the new CDs. New tape cassettes, new kambu, new t-shirts, you know.
New willy.
Because uncontem nunja shoe. You know, anyway, I ended up living with him and we were living in Colindale, northwest London. I had to get a job. And it was crazy, the first job that I got, because that job is still seeing me through so much right now.
You still have that job?
No. But what I learned on that job.
Oh, okay.
So I was the first generation of what you call chuggers. A chugger is a charity mugger. So there are people who are on the streets, like in busy causeways, like public causeways that are busy, like, like high streets or shopping malls or stuff like that. And we stand there, we wear a sort of bib and we are raising money for charities. And so your job is to literally approach random people and convince them not only to donate. We don't want a one-off donation. You want to convince them to support the charity by signing on to monthly payments. Therefore, this
like Netflix.
Basically, I was Netflixing on the streets.
Oh, wow.
You know, as a black kid on the streets, collecting people's bank account details. Because that's a sign there. The Honan, my Tron, my
this
my
is in the UK.
This is in the UK.
Where was the racism?
Oh, dude. It was there. Clear and presently and dangerously.
And you were getting people's bank details.
Oh, bro. Can you please not talk to me, please?
Yeah, right?
Oh, but I'm for scope.
did you keep the accent, the Ghanaian accent, or you had to code switch?
Yeah. You code switch. I mean, I've been code switching. Me and Kasan, like, I've had, like, serious accent problems, you know, because my siblings are quite British, you know? Like, they've been... I'm the one...
It's a lot of tea and crumpets, isn't it?
Yorkst. Let's let it be. I had to. But it's you know, it's easy as a Ghanaian, because the way our colonizers made us learn the English language. Nine out of 10 times, we're already a few steps ahead of them.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to get over the fact that we are going to say culture. Now I'm going to culture.
Yeah, you would have to.
Thank God we're not Nigerians.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
Thank God. Too.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, no, it was hard, but bro, I would tell you this. I would go home and I would have nightmares of rejection.
Of people rejecting you on the street.
All day.
Bruh.
The success rate is like 3% a day. And you have to speak to a minimum of 50 people a day.
How long did you do that for?
Bro, I did it for 2.5 years.
Let me tell you something. I don't do well with rejection. After fashion design, you know how my father killed my fashion design dreams. I thought I was going to do visual arts in school because I wanted to. He said, "Our person we are now with yep signboard my microphone acquiring home," and I was like, "Okay, I'm not doing that." And then I wanted to be an actor, and I went to 2 auditions. They said no to me, and I said, "Hey."
Hey,
this cannot be my life.
No,
and so I don't know how you stuck through that thing for 2.5
necessity.
Wow.
The bills were billing.
Okay. You know? So I know in your travels you reconnected with One Love.
Yeah.
Which quick backstory. So Mensa went to a disco for a little bit. So that's where he met One Love. And then he ended up in Accra Academy because not in Pisco.
I suffered.
Yeah. So you guys reconnected and then tell us how Fucking Boys came about.
Yeah, man. So I was in London, he was in Texas. We were very good friends when we were in high school in Addis Ababa. We were really like, he was my senior by 2 years, but we spent a lot of time together writing, running away and kind of like building ideas and, you know, like almost creating our own world in the boarding school because it's boarding school in those days for me was hell. It was jail time. I often wondered why my parents took me to boarding school, but there's also this kind of legacy. Your uncle went there, so do this or this, you know?
Yeah.
But I hated, from the first day I went to boarding school, I hated it. I hated the teachers. I hated the damn school. I hated the food. I hated, what did he say? What did Kendrick say to Drake? I hate how you walk. I hated it, and I still do.
I see.
I hated it.
Really?
Yeah. So that really was like, music was really my escape.
Your escape,
and
right.
It was like, it was my currency because I could rap, you know, it's like people were nice to me and I would get like somebody sardine because I'll rap some freestyle and just like, oh, Charlie, take my name to your rapper.
You know that the reason why I'm laughing is that when I was in 4-1, they did this like, talent, whatever, and I went to sing. Right. And now in the evening, seniors will call me to sing them to sleep. And I'll be singing all these words. And I hate how much I love you. Because those are the ones I know the lyrics to. Can you imagine? Anyway, literally. So I was in a Chelsea when Cause of Money came out. Part one. Yeah, I went to you guys came there.
Dude, there was a pandemonium. What's the word?
When you guys came to the school?
Did I not tell you what happened?
No, what happened?
Hey, I just went into a thing. Did I not tell you what happened?
Well, why would no? The battle of the accents. What happened? Tell me. Because I remember you guys came to Shesi, and I think the thing that stuck out for me was people kept trying to ask you questions, and I feel like they didn't give any serious answers.
Right.
Like people would come up and ask them, bullshitting. And we're just bullshitting. So I was just like, what the hell is wrong with these guys?
Like, did you know there was a stampede in your school?
No, I didn't.
Somebody got trampled over and lost her entire front teeth.
Oh, I know the story.
But the story ends well.
Yeah, it does. I know what happened. I didn't know it was because of you guys. Oh my.
But it ends well.
How did it end well?
Next.
Okay. So Cousin Money came out, right? And I grew up watching Mary Poppins. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. You know,
we too like that.
The musicals.
Yes, yes.
So I remember for me, when I got past you two waking up in the room and you came out on the street, and random people that I thought were like just standing there, they came
to mob.
Yes! I was like, yo! I love
they
it.
They killed it.
Where did the idea come from to do such like a whole project like this?
You remember those films you mentioned?
Yes.
Those films.
Really?
Yes, of course. Sound of Music, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. What's it called? My Fair Lady. There's another one.
Oliver
Twist. Yes. All these musicals. Wow. But it's crazy. Like, I watched them like religiously, and so did One Love, but like, you know, like separately, like separate experiences, you know? And so when we used to hang out and talk about this, like, oh, you too?
And it's like, that's so dope, yeah, right?
It's crazy.
Were those professional dancers, or you just got people from the street and taught them?
No. We had professional dancers. We had a guy called Mosquito. Yeah. Who was doing the choreography. Like, he would, you know, he'd listen to the lyrics and kind of do the gestures and all that. And even I was made to dance, you know, and I don't.
What do you mean by even I was made to dance? But you move pretty well.
Bro.
I wanted to ask you, who is Comfort Ampa Baden? So this is at the beginning of Cause of When they say dedicated to Comfort Ampa Baden, who left us during the making of this film. Yes. And Mali Robinson Owusu-Bonsu, who joined us.
Yes. So our director, King Lou, his mother passed away.
Oh, okay.
When we started shooting.
Oh, okay.
By the same time, One Love had a son around the same time. So one left and one joined.
Honestly.
Yes.
I didn't really like left us as in died. I thought you guys were trying to be funny.
We'll cry.
Okay. Yes. What would you say was the biggest thing that Cause of Money brought you?
The biggest thing?
Yeah.
Debt.
Positive thing.
How to come out of debt.
Really?
That's the biggest
positive debt? Thing.
Bro.
And you did a part two?
That shit cost me my marriage. Yo.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was, that whole experience is something else. Yeah. It's something else.
But I mean, to your artistry.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, it's like, hey, I love you art. Yeah. What's the biggest thing you did for me? I think that is legacy material.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I hope that it will also manifest financially at some point when I've retired and I'm just like, and then some big check is going to come. You know?
Hopefully. I see, but you guys put it up on YouTube like 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, right? Yeah. We put it on and then we get pissed and we take it off. Then we put it on and
Really?
Yeah. It's like this. We have this relationship with YouTube and the film.
But it's monetized, right?
Yes, it is.
So isn't it giving you some money?
Oh, go and look at the numbers on there. That's what I mean. I mean, do you know what? Cause of Money really put us on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, we made a couple more albums and then we came back and did Cause of Money 2. But Cause of Money itself really, like, we traveled worldwide, you know, doing festivals, doing shows, understanding the business.
Mm-hmm.
And with no management. It was just One Love and I.
You didn't have a manager?
Just the two of us. We were doing everything, doing the bookings, writing. Let me tell you a story.
Cause I did see in the credits, One Love, edited, yes. And then you did the like music.
Yeah.
That is wild.
Yeah. We had to learn on the job. Bro, let me tell you a story.
Tell us.
We had a manager. We were the first to have a virtual manager who we created. Who that manager was also us. I don't know if this brothel makes sense, but anyway, his last name was Kamami.
Okay.
Right? African-American, Kamami. Mm-hmm. And his first name was Famisi.
I feel like he's doing
I swear to you.
Famisi Kamami.
Yes. Now say it slowly.
Famisi Kamami.
I swear to you, I can send you emails right now. We've got famisi@gmail.com.
So that was you guys created that to like talk to people.
Yes, as if it was our managers. Like, hi, this is Famisi. Emmanuel Usubunsu, one love his flight. Visibly, he would like to take his flight from here. You know, we need 2 check-in bags. Mensa will be flying from here. Blah blah blah.
What?
Thank you, Kamami. If you need anything, call me on this number. Then you call, then either me or one of them pick up.
That is like, so ingenious. Like, you know, I'm laughing because we've kind of done the same thing, you know. So we needed a social media manager when we launched. And it was us. And then we would say, Obedience. He's called Obedience. So we're like, Obedience forgot to post the link.
Now I'm saying, throw him under the bus.
Sincerity is, I'm coming out. There's no one.
No, you shouldn't have.
Time out. Because you know what? We do live events and they're always like, where's Obedience?
Where's Obedience?
And I was like, oh, he went to bury his dad. Oh, he went to there. I killed like
he's
all
like,
of the-
he's like, again? Yeah. I thought he lost his dad 2 years ago.
Cats out of the bag, guys. Stop asking. Oh, wow. You but anyway, to. I just wanted to mention that I realized there were so many people in there. Awal, Yapono, Samini, Efia. Like,
yes.
The talent in those films. Yeah. And I was very surprised. Veggie Rock Stone.
Yes.
Like, what?
Yes.
Ambule.
Yes.
The pasta.
Yes.
That really, I was like, wow.
Yes.
I like that you do that.
Yeah.
Because for me, collaboration is very important
absolutely.
In the art space.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But sometimes, I did it first.
Yeah.
But anyway.
No, we came through the door together first. I think that's what it should be more like.
Yeah. Now I want to talk about the most important projects. Okay. Well, let me not say that in your life, but in my life, when it comes to you.
Go ahead.
Number one, Mango Street.
Oh.
Greatly underrated album. Like if there was fans to replatform it and just go through it, I think this would be the time.
Yeah.
We had a conversation earlier and I was telling her, there's a song on there that reminds me so much of a song on Amare's album that came out last year.
Oh,
there's
really?
A song on there that like,
right. There's always, you can see
right?
that. Yeah.
Okay.
And these are all artists who really paid attention to the album as well. I ain't saying nothing. I'm just saying.
And so we're going to do it song by song.
Really? Okay.
So is your brother on the first song?
My brother. Which? Oh,
Number One Mango Street.
My cousin.
It's your
cousin. So basically, the one who is in Hollywood.
Joey?
Yes. Joey's younger brother, older brother, Ryan.
Uh-huh.
Who is like a genius guitarist and an arranger and composer. And he's like, you know, yeah, so he plays guitar.
Cause that. Even the way the song starts.
Yeah.
And that song is about, it's literally talking about you missing home and wanting to come back.
Yeah.
So.
And that was literally the last song that I wrote on the album. And I wrote it in my bedroom in
Dansuman.
In Dansuman. I was really struggling with that song.
Oh, really?
I couldn't, like these, man, you know, it's crazy. It's like some of these songs, they're in your system, but you just need to find a way to bring it out. So I'd been trying to write that song. And that was the reason why I couldn't finish the album, because I needed to finish that song. Mm-hmm. I'd written so many bullshit versions of it. It just wasn't working. And one day I woke up. I tell you no lie. I woke up in my bedroom. I had a PC on Cubase, turned on the computer and I recorded the whole song one day.
And that's how it was.
That was it. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. This is what I wanted to do. You know? Yeah. Tears in my eyes is dark and
I was very surprised to like find that you had like a voice.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know, maybe it's because of like, I was introduced you to, you know, the whole rap thing.
Do you know the trick? What? I don't have a voice, right? I have good pronunciation.
Oh, enunciation is what?
Enunciation.
Oh, okay.
Yes. That's the thing. So you should try it. Don't sing too hard. Just sing softly, but pronounce your words very well.
I see.
Obia yabua. Obia yabua.
So because you're pronouncing the full thing, it sounds like you are.
Seems like the guy is like, oh, silk. Mintoshe. Because Mintun Kostrus is here.
Oh, you guys be modest. We were just at your show. You held some key. Don't do that.
I saw people cringe like,
we were not, it was more like, it's entering me. Oh, wait, is Senator Agadu on Afrofunking?
Me damn, I can't say no messy. Me nice so, me sing my no answer. Na me see quite so. Me Tim Tim, give me minimum to not run so. I heard it all. My say, me need to buy so certified. Bring alive things I put my mind to.
No, who was that?
That was the mother of my children,
oh, okay.
With whom I was estranged from after cause of money.
But she, so that was after she recorded it after. Or
no, it was there. Because of money was...
Siri thinks I'm talking to her. Sorry.
Siri, do you fear him? Yeah.
Yeah, so when...
No, that's not Senator. I put Senator Agadu afterwards. FOK and Boys did a project with her.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not her. That's not
Oh,
her.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, we were wondering. I was like,
yeah,
who's
yeah.
this?
Yeah.
And you name dropped Canada Dry. Do you like Canada Dry? Because I'm obsessed with Canada
right?
Dry.
Oh, really?
Ginger ale.
Yeah. It's a Canada Dry.
There was a line in the Canada Dry.
Yes. It named that side. That was my yo-yo days were on.
Yo-yo days, eh? Okay, so the next song, Anna.
Yeah. Wofabi. Uncle Sean. Call me whatever, man. Whoever said I was nothing is a big liar. His nose grows long and his pants are on fire. Succeeding across the world in everything I aspire. Forwards ever, backwards never, I never retire. These words of Kwame Nkrumah will always inspire. But sometimes I must go back to pick up what I left behind if I want to reach higher. And so I and higher. I'm back with Sankofa written on my attire. I tell ya. Or maybe you can stay exhausted. I'm tired of not knowing who around me can be trusted. Trying to confuse, but I know they are imposters. Saying this won't take me to the Grammy. So the Oscars, I saw the Oscars and the Grammys. This is for my brothers.
Are you aware that Kojo Q's iconic album For My Brothers?
Yes.
He got that from you.
Yes.
You're aware?
I am.
I want you to talk about this, right? I am tired of not knowing who around me can be trusted, trying to confuse, but I know they are imposters. Saying this won't take me to the Grammys or the Oscars, but Sean, the Grammys and the Oscars, this is for my brothers.
Yes. And that's where the line comes from.
Yeah, for my brothers.
The ones who want to be free and want to stop taking orders. Like obedience. What's his name?
Obedience.
Yes. Yeah.
The whole joke is like, his name is Obedience, but he's not obedient.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So what does that line signify in your attitude?
I was really fighting a lot of pushback, you know, in the making of that project. It was just like a lot of people didn't, you know what it's like when people don't see the vision, instead of doing their best to understand it, you get rather people who try and talk you out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then there's also a lot of people who trivialize what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
And so I had to put that in song. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, like Namor Mangustri, I always say this, like when it came out, it was getting a lot of attention, but then also people didn't know what to do with it. But then when you think about it, it's just because people weren't willing to take chances. You know what I mean? People weren't willing to take risks. Like, I've given you the album. Mm-hmm. I've taken the risk of making this album.
Yeah.
Like, please just put it on. You know?
You know, Kwame, my producer, always says that Ghanaians are music snobs.
Yeah.
It's like, if it doesn't sound like what they're used to, they don't even want to listen to it.
Until somebody else calls science.
Yes.
And then it's like, oh, he's from Ghana. Back off.
No. Because, I mean, that album... Okay, let me just move on because of time.
Right.
Breathe Warm is my personal favorite on the album.
Oh, Samini.
Mm-hmm.
they hear.
Make them move.
Them for shake.
Make them boogie.
Them for boogie.
Make them dance.
Them for dance.
Where them day?
Them they hear.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Hey, yeah.
Sanemba.
This one.
He be smash.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Let them know.
Booyah. Yeah.
Coleco.
Ha.
Hey,
it sounds so amazing.
Another beast.
We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. But I like him. That's my favorite part.
Oh, guys.
You know, BB Womb. You know, BB Womb.
That's Samini. That's Samini's idea. That BB. The guy brought the song alive, I have to say.
You got a unique version of Samini.
Yes,
He sound like that on most stuff.
I did. I have to say. But that's, you know, that's like, please, I'm not blowing my trumpet. Nobody likes a braggart, as some CEO told me the other day.
Oh.
But he's a good friend of mine. He takes the piss out of me. But that is my gift, I think, into guiding other musicians to a place where I can envision them. And then later when they look back and be like, oh, wow, I can't believe
I did that.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, you have it. Oh, you've had it. You know, and this is my recording experience with Nneka as well. You know Nneka, the Nigerian singer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Like but Samini, if I told you how we wrote the song, like Samini is such, he's really as talented as the music that he's making and beyond, you know. He came to London, my flat, like, oh, Tali, where the song day? You know, Samini was a big boy, still is, you know, like Entourage, car waiting outside.
Back then he was Batman.
Yes, Batman, you know. So he really didn't have time, you know. Yeah. Like recording under pressure.
Well, he did it all in one take.
One take. If I do my verse, then I give him the mic, and then he just records. And then I'm like, okay, I just write something, and then he just goes on, matches it, and it's like, okay, Charlie, make I do some ad libs. It's like, didn't even wait to hear what the vocals was like. Pa or cop. I
like your structuring.
Yes.
You know, most people would do their whole verse and then the featured artist will come later. No. But it's like, you know,
No, we're there. We're there. We're doing it right there. I'm not gonna.
You know, song reminds me of, hey, it has very,
hey,
oh no, I love that song.
Well,
you
did a high note too, Charlie. What you
mean? Oh no, let me tell you. I used to sing. I just didn't take it seriously.
Really?
Yeah.
Should we go back into the studio?
For you, yes, I will.
Yeah. Why not?
Oh my God, guys. I always joke on this thing that I'm going to bring the Grammy to Ghana. And I'm
you're
like,
because
if I'm going to bring a Grammy to Ghana, it's with me.
Yeah, if you're bringing a Grammy and I'm producing, then I'm a Grammy Award winner.
Exactly.
Yeah. Could have never done it on my own.
Yeah. And listen, I live on the street next to yours. So
okay, Chang, we'll get into that. Yeah.
Fancy Love Song. Oh. That was the one where I was like, wow, Mensa can really sing.
In Surta. I won't wonder. Oh, that's no mention. Bomb, come on. I just so in them, I feel a cry. My dream will hold them up. Where to run? My pain in Chama Pata. My new pastor, Kakra. The attitude come on be the suit you witness in the world to when you bra that's not mentioned maybe let me throw baby. In suit of where do you can ya I won't dare. Mama powers not sir. This year the way in. And if you miss I grow on your mind again. They're off news in the so miss him the lesson. Why you the flex like you know they won't come? The way things they be for here will go on to me late day, and if it day, kiss if you get it, many set. Makuma the wunsemo. Ya twa boon. Yes, I feel.
I think that was a really cool song.
Thank you.
Really, really good song.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I also realized that most of the songs on that album, like the outro was very long. You know, you're always playing something.
Yeah.
Was it intentional? Was it running theme through?
Most of I do that for most of my projects, except for my most recent project.
Fola.
I'm doing Fola. Yeah,
yeah. We'll get to that,
like,
guys.
I start, do the verse, do chorus, do another verse, chorus, finish, next. I don't have time for any, but like Bonzi, I was like doing like a whole like overtures in like in the end, like going into like a complete different song and like displaying my production skills and like how like, yeah, you know, how I work
the with the layering and stuff. Bonzi.
Yeah.
No One Knows Tomorrow. How did you get Asha on your song?
Just as the day, the other day, I was talking to the weather man about today. Oh, 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 and know all he can say. No one knows tomorrow.
Always a change, people they change too. Weatherman, bring me sun, make you bring me rain too. And if you don't see me tomorrow, sing my name too. Nobody ever warned me from the things we came to. You didn't predict what will happen, me things it ain't true. It be some small difference between me and you. Make we cherish everything, what we see and do. He who they live for peace, equality and truth. They live with life with ease and in ways believe in proof. When I wake up early in the morning.
By force.
What does By Force look like?
Well, I had the song on a CD that I bought, and I cut it up, and I was going to do a remix for her, and I wasn't hearing from them, so I was like, you know what, sort this, I'm going to do it myself. I wrapped the lyrics, and I released the song.
You didn't get into any legal trouble?
Nah, and then her management reached out to me like, this is a dope song, you have our blessing.
Please don't try this at home.
Don't try this shit
Do
at home.
Do not.
This was like...
This will get you sued.
And then, look, I'd never met the lady before.
Really?
Right? I never met her. Asha's not my friend. She's not my friend. I was at home when I was sent a ticket to her concert and an invitation to come on stage to perform the song with her orchestra.
Oh, my God.
That's a gracious... Like, I have not... One single bad thing to say about Asha, except for the fact that she is a fucking superstar. You know?
Wow. Hey, guys, take a chance on yourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Broken Languages was on Cause of Money and on this.
Yes.
It's one of my favorite tracks.
Yes. Yo. Yes.
Kubalo.
This beat be crazy, man.
Oh, thanks.
We didn't come up for the world inside, you know?
Yeah,
I believe that.
So,
I feel like they don't really know one identity, so
did they sleep?
How you go describe yourself?
Ha, I be the smell, the melanin in my aroma, the Charlie water wearing Roma, the water in the leaf eater, the when I see your mother greeter, the coconut and mango tree climber, the socks ball and the gutter go and finder, the psycho schooler, the sharp brain but number one class distraction fooler, the minerals in the cooler stealer, they do it with my bare hands, orange peeler, Mozama disco crystal church healer,
the Botos watcher, the better go and hide your daughter.
The first few times I listened to it, I didn't realize you guys were describing yourselves. I thought you guys were just talking randomly. And then one day it clicked. So I was now separating. Okay, One Love is this and Nessa is this. And it made complete sense. Because you know, the funny thing about Ghanaian media and Ghanaian people, they under this funny impression that One Love spoils you.
Huh.
I never had that impression when I used to. Every time I looked at it, I actually thought you were the worst one. Honestly, I could always tell. I'm like, I'm sure this is One Love's thing. And he's like, hey, guy, where do you miss you?
Dude, I'm getting that. You know, it's funny that as I get older, I'm getting that more and more. People are like, sana na
wanna. Yeah.
Where you born some?
I don't know where they got that from. But anyway, yeah. Broken Languages. What was the idea? How do you guys come up with this idea that, okay, we're going to describe ourselves, introduce ourselves to the world.
Yeah.
We're going to use like random things about us.
Yeah. You know, One Love and myself are... We're hip hop fans, you know, and actually Broken Languages is from an old hip hop track from, two brothers called, Smooth the Gambler and Trigger the Hustler. Like this is the most undergroundest, gangsterestest rappers you meet in your life from Brooklyn, like probably murderers, really. And, you know, I loved the song. So I introduced One Love to the song and I was like, how do we make something like this to almost like introduce ourselves to the world, you know?
Right.
And we kind of left the idea for a little bit and I started like working on it. Do you know that there's a Beyoncé sample in that beat?
Oh my God.
Even Beyoncé would never cut.
Are you going to tell us?
Beyonce won't tell. This is the camera I'm supposed to look at, right? Yes. It will never catch me.
Why are you admitting this on Beyonce's internet?
Yes. Until if she can tell me which part it is that I used, I'll take it off.
No, I'm going to listen to it and I'll find it out.
No, you won't.
I would text you. I'm not like, I'm going to find it. I promise.
Yes.
Let's go into 2016. Yes. Red. Okay. I know, and I hope you say, I say his name right.
Elo. Yes.
Cause I was just like, it's ELO. Yes. It could be any, yeah.
Actually, in Hungary, they say Elu. Elu.
I'm not going to try and do that.
Yeah, Wongpilu. Elu.
Elu. Okay, yes, great. Yes. Elu. You met him on Cause of Money, when you guys were working on Cause of Money, right?
Is that well, that's Senna's husband.
Bruh. Like, you guys are just marinated in the juices of creativity. Yeah, like, yeah. Some of us, yeah. We are like the one crazy person in the pool of serious people, and we have to tell people like, hey, I have a podcast.
Yeah.
People know me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, great. So then how did Red come about?
So, Senna and her husband came to Ghana one time. I was also here at that time, and we did some recordings and stuff, and it went so well that when they went back to Budapest, they invited me. Mm. To come and kind of do some things together. Like, you know, so I ended up going on a whole tour with them. And Senna is huge in Eastern Europe. She's huge. Like, you people sleep on her.
No, it's so interesting, you know? Like, there's a whole caliber of artists. And I think right now, someone like Amaray is like a prime example.
Yes.
There's a whole caliber of artists that come from Ghana who have so much love, respect,
outside.
Recognition outside this country. Yeah. And then when you come here, people sit on Twitter and jokes.
Yeah, they make jokes.
They have
I've seen Amaray's concerts in Europe, and you know, the culture is on her. Like, you know what I mean? It's crazy.
And even with you guys, because I've seen a lot of your, you know, concerts and stuff.
Right.
This is crazy. Anyway,
Elo invited me. We did a couple of songs together. It was a really successful tour. I went back, and then I went back with one of the Kubala. We did a project in a week. We recorded a whole album and did 5 concerts. Like, the work ethic was crazy. And one of us is also a bit of a beast when it comes to, like, you know, like getting things done with, you know, with Elo, who is like, really efficient. Mm. We did a project called, fucking.
With Ewe?
Duna Quest.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Duna Quest in Budapest.
That's it. Yeah. That album was recorded in a week while we were still on tour. And then, we just kept the friendship. We were touring, we're doing things together back and forth. And, I had to leave the UK. Mm-hmm. I wanted to kind of jackpot a little bit and just get my affairs together. And so I moved to Budapest. Oh. And while I was out there, we kind of collaborated. Okay. And that's how Red was born.
You know, honestly, house, electric funk is not typically what I go for. But the thing about me is there are certain artists that when they jump off a cliff, I'll follow them.
Because right.
I don't think that they can have a bad song.
Right,
and you're one of those people.
Oh, thank you, man.
So I listened to it. And even I was listening to it recently for this. And I realized that I knew most of the Red songs. I've
That's
heard
crazy,
it before. Yeah. The Sarkodie one.
Which
is another. Wow.
Yeah.
How do you like? It's like you get Sarkodie and you say, hey, look, this is a very different beat than you're used to.
Yeah.
And he
That was a difficult song for me because that was like Elu's vision. Because there's an original version of that song with Sarkodie, which is like really soulful, kind of like, you know, some nice J Dilla beats or whatever. And Elo was like, oh, let me remix this and put some house beats. Scoot.
As time they go, things go be. As we they grow, baby, you go see. Say what our dreams go turn reality. If you believe in you and me, then eventually we go fly free.
Come to the bomb, baby.
Yeah. Make no shake, baby.
Turn the bitch and so anchor hold up,
baby. Make a beam, no break, baby.
One day you go be.
I say, baby. Make no mistake, baby.
We go move from the ghetto one day.
You believe in you and me. Things gonna be great, baby.
Yeah.
Make it no shake, baby.
Turn the bitch and so anchor hold up,
baby. Make a beam, no break, baby.
Do you know what time it is?
It worked,
baby.
Yeah.
Make it no shake, baby.
Yeah. I know.
Baby.
If you believe, you to me.
No, that was a really great project as well. So with like Fucking Boys, Red Red, these are like groups that like open, then you go and do
constantly.
It's not long standing like that.
No, I mean, you know, Fucking Boys has a really big catalog. Like we have albums and we have records and we have like tours and films, you know.
Yeah.
And we've been behind a lot of interesting things. So those, I was very invested also financially in all these bands. Like they take your time. Like when I do these things, it's blood and sweat.
Bonesy, Forward, the music video, shot in Dan Suman.
You know this?
Yes.
And embrace the pain if we team with the get up and try my game. Tell me, fairly, yeah, people try to like it.
That's how I know where you live now. I've never been to your house, but I saw it. I was like, I know this place.
I know this place.
Yeah. Really cool. Really cool. I wanted to talk about the message behind Bisa.
Okay.
The answers, we know they ask questions. Kiddy way they quizzing, father they block your own blessings. Conflicting colonial rule and culture be when I transgression. Me like this, then I always a dodge class. But I never they chop last. The child they skip your lessons. Why you know they think to ask? To nurture the mind of one of youth, that be the only task. Lost in the realms of discipline and feeding the ego. We first start to listen, cause really how much do we know? We know all the answers, we know they ask questions. A closed mind is like a closed book. What be the essence? If we know they sow nothing, they make ideas germinate.
I've always said, and I forgot to say this at the very beginning of this episode, I've always said, Ghanaians are not a monolith.
Yes.
It's something that I've had to grapple with as I was growing. Mm. You know, I'm an effeminate guy, right? And you enter spaces and people are always expecting this Kwame Nkrumah cloth wielding, knowing every, like Ghanaians are not a monolith. We're very, very different.
Different, yeah.
But I think the issue is our socialization from the jump. Children are not supposed to be here, just seeing all of those things. And so you grow up into these timid people where you work in a company, your boss comes to the office, hey, boss, Ibo.
Yeah, it'll be
why like, is a boss,
sit up,
Ibo?
Sit up right.
You know what I mean? And so when I listened to Bisa, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. What inspired the message on there?
Just, I think my ADHD, I know everybody says they have ADHD.
Yeah.
But my ADHD caused me a lot of grief as a child.
Okay.
You know, imagine like being a smart kid, which I bloody hell was, you know, thinking outside the box, being like all over the place, wanted to do everything at the same time. You know what I mean? And constantly being like shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you, you know, and like, why are you asking these questions? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Like, because I'm interested, because I'm curious.
Right.
Why, you know, and then they would like shut me down, shut me out, send me out of the class for calling me disruptive and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a resentment. That song is made out of a resentment of how who I was as a child wasn't embraced, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want that for my kids, you know?
Mm.
And I wanted to normalize asking challenging questions and normalize entertaining children who ask random shit.
Yeah.
It means your child is thinking, you know? Bisa is also me and my acronyms. I'm so old school. So Bisa, actually, that's why Bisa is written in dots.
Okay.
So it's bold. To have a bold infancy gives you a secured adulthood.
Oh, that's true. That is actually true. I always think back to, you know, the kids that were shipped from America, wherever, because they were stubborn and they would come to our class. And they'll be loud as hell. Yeah. They'll stand up for themselves. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh.
Oh, Jenny. Hi, Jenny.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And teachers telling me I won't amount to nothing and stuff like that. And then that same teacher now come to ask me to help him raise money for the goddamn Martin de Pompeo. I just will never forgive that guy.
Okay, we'll move right along. Mokosani. I didn't know Gasmina could rap like that.
Yeah.
So it comes back to what you said about when you work with people, right? Because when I saw Gasmila on the song the first time, I was like, okay, we're going to get into some Kamasi jam.
No. He went all out. When I sent him the songs, like, oh yeah, I've been a fan for a very long time, so don't worry, I got you. Not knowing say fan, sana a competition. I mean, in a very healthy way, because he brought it. You know,
he has to come correct. No, he's an Omerensa song.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's answer.
Also, Dance Man Boy, by the way.
Gasmila?
Yes.
Can we do like a cookout?
We pull out
all the Dance Man creatives.
We really need to,
bruh. Because honestly, the next person I'm trying to talk to is Tic Tac.
Yes, straight up. Yeah. Everywhere, boo.
I mean, okay,
he was such a good friend of mine. I love TikTok. Yeah.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last song on Bonzi that I wanted to talk about was God is Good.
Jesus be the only one who there for you. Bring money, come make a prayer for you. I'm blessed with keys, go open ways for you. Pledge your salary, make a double your pay for you. Cause your country know they care for you. Jesus has been looking everywhere for you. Bring all your problems, I go clear for you. Just take this holy water, I prepare for you.
Don't ask me what the fuck I'm gonna do. God is good.
God is good.
God is good. God is good. God is good.
God is good.
Say it 3 times and Charlie, all is good.
All is good.
God is good. God is good. God is good.
God is good.
I was listening to the song, right? And then I realized you're not talking about, you're not saying God is good. You're saying God is gold. So I googled gold.
Yeah.
And basically somebody was like, something evil that takes away from.
Yeah.
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 And I was like, oh,
basically,
okay.
Yes.
I see what this commentary is
it's
on. But Ghanaians are going to listen to this and not get it.
Amen. Dude. Just, yes. Amen. God is good.
Okay. So what's the message behind that one?
And there was a time when, a certain pastor was involved in some skirmishes involving a bank and its dissolution and so on and so forth, or dissolvements or whatever it is. Yeah. And, you know, he was asked to come and clear his name, and he was very quiet for a very long time and came out, and his explanation was, God is good. God is good. God is good. And then he walked off.
Yeah. I remember that video.
I was like, wow, to have such power.
Touch not my anointed.
I want some of that shit.
Yeah.
Man, I was mind blown. So in the song, you know, it's like we share the same name. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how does the song start?
I can't remember right now because I was just about to say.
Yes.
Come on. Context clues have been dropped.
Yes. So now that I've dropped the name that I mentioned in the beginning is me now becoming that pastor. Like, oh, okay, I'm going to morph into this person because he has so much power. Mm-hmm. And then now when you listen to the verse, It will all make sense.
Makes sense.
Yes.
Because you're speaking from,
yes.
Right.
A spiritual place.
I forgot to ask, are you Kwabena Jones?
No, no, man, in car. 1, 2, 3.
This is your number, so why do 1, 2, 3, 7.
Ha! Asem sonya sempa. No, no, man, femba. Sempa wa senda. No, no, man, in car. Asem sonya sempa. No, no, man, femba. Sempa wa senda. No, no, man, in car.
Kwabena Jones.
Yeah, man.
How do you do?
They used to watch you do that, man. Sound too hard to do.
Why them burn? Yes, they're fitto. Much our banner, this is fitto. You go to them little by little.
Me and me push ups, but to that kettle. You can cut with blue, once it is kettles. Ain't any cold part, no want some kettles. Inching, you woman lovers.
Okay, I can't match it.
Do you know what?
It's you.
I wish I was. I'm not.
Who is that?
Because Kwabena Jones himself is also what's it called? Another personality.
But it's you.
It's not a namesake. No.
But it's you.
So Kwabena Jones is also somebody's Batman. Like another somebody's character.
I get it, but it's you.
It is not me.
You are delivering. So it's kind of like Dr. Jekyll. Is it Dr.
Yes,
Hyde?
Yes, Mr. Hyde, Dr. Jekyll. Yes.
But they're one person.
They're one person, but that one person is not me. I can tell you that for a fact.
So that's your alter ego?
Yes, and he's from Bema Camp. And not me. Oh, no. My alter ego is doing very well on TikTok currently.
Oh, you have a TikTok account?
My alter ego.
Oh, okay. I'm going to go check that out.
Oh, you'll never know.
But the name is not Mensa.
Yeah, this is the second time I've told somebody today. I should not. It's not Mensa.
Wait. Okay, listen. Kwame's gonna kill me if we don't get to the bottom of this. So wait, Kwabena Jones is a different human being.
Completely different. His name is Bosco Niboni Mankata. That's his real name, Bosco.
Okay.
The guy released an album called Songs I Wrote When I Was Thinking the Things I Was Thinking When I Was Thinking It, So I Recorded It.
I can't tell if I'm being taken for
Google.
I have to because okay, you know, Kwame, I think it's him. He's just
I wish. And do you know what Kwabena Jones is doing right now?
What's he doing right now?
He's like damn near CEO of Target.
In America.
I'm telling you. Look, Ghana has geniuses, I'm telling you.
Okay.
And he went to a disco too.
Oh, okay. All right. And he didn't end up in
No, he finished.
Accra.
He finished. He finished and went to America.
We get it. We follow.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there was a period in time on that same R2 interview, you guys were asked about the state of the music industry. And I remember that you guys pointed to Pampo instead of I said Pampo. So my question now is, if you had to describe the Ghanaian music industry today with an inanimate object, what would it be? Hopefully not Pampro.
Ghana's music industry, it's the emperor in his new clothes.
It doesn't exist. It's not there.
Yeah, the clothes don't exist, but the emperor is balling.
It's balling.
Yeah. Do you see what I mean?
I understand.
He's like, he thinks he's wearing some... But we are just seeing a fat belly.
And we're going to leave it there because we want you to think.
Yeah.
Okay. So you've got a new project that's coming out. I had the privilege of being at his exclusive listening session where honestly, I thought we're just going to sit there and he was going to play the records.
How boring would that have been?
Right? You took it one step further and did it live.
Yeah.
Gave very NPR-esque, you know, vibes.
Someone invited me.
Wait, have you tried to go on there?
They say you have to be American.
Temps
unless
is not
they give
American.
You a special invitation.
Thames is not American. She's been on there.
So maybe Thames band member is American. You can use technicalities.
Oh, but you can do that.
And plus Thames is like a Grammy Award winner now. So you can get special. But normally, like as a regular artist, you can't. You can't.
Keep trying.
Oh, I will.
You know the funny thing about your business partner? She gets results.
She sure does.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know how long I've known her.
Okay. Well, okay. No, she sure does.
So keep trying. Cause yes. Immense on NPR. Do you know how crazy?
How crazy would that be, dude?
Wow.
Oh my God. NPR. This is the best podcast in the world, basically.
Yeah. Come on. Tell them.
I'm on here telling you guys, give Mensa a chance.
On Tiny Desk.
On Tiny Desk.
Trust and believe. But anyway, Fola is fear of love and happiness. And when I heard you describe or explain what the project was about on the Culture Daily Show, I was actually very interested in listening to it because, you know, I'm 32.
Right.
And I've been through a lot of failed, you know, relationships, friendships, kind of formative relationship that you just qualified.
Yeah.
A lot of it. And right. I think it's a running theme.
It is. It is.
People are afraid
yeah.
to just let themselves go, be vulnerable and here, you know.
And be completely authentic.
Yeah. So I was very excited for it. Yeah. And even I heard some of the tracks and Oba seems really nice.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you so much.
I think that's
much,
a
man.
Great selection for the, as a single.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to hear it. Thank but yeah, you. Let's talk about Fola.
Yeah, man. I mean, so, you know, like with songs like, Fanti Love Song and a few other love songs that I've written, on my previous projects and even like producing, Afrobeats LOL, you know, these concepts have always brewed at the back of my mind and Manifest would always say to me, Mensa, you just need to do it like an Odonium album. You know, he used to say that to me all the time, you know, like, so it kind of went to my head a little bit and got into my head a little bit. And I also wanted to just produce my own Afro beats or Afro pop album, you know, just like, just, or carefully select the music and make it sound like not a departure from who I am, but an extension of who I am. And that's what you hear on Fola. And then also be able to really touch on subjects that I feel like will be interesting for us, for the language, for Pidgin English, for Chief, for Fanti, in a way that hasn't been done before. You know, like, how do you talk about vulnerability in Chi or in Pidgin, you know, and make it sound cool, you know? This is like me just, this is my way of like pushing myself or pushing boundaries. So it's like taking concepts that exist but don't exist in song, you know, in our, you know, music that we make.
Because, you know, my friends and I, when we get around, we always talk shit. And we were talking, we're like, when you guys are having sex, do any of you like speak other languages? Because, you know, the thing is, a lot of us, the socialization is porn.
Yes.
And it's always, oh yes, fuck, yes.
Yeah.
But like, have you guys ever used local languages? And that conversation was so funny.
It's crazy. It is absolutely. I mean, not what you're saying, but what you're saying is absolutely crazy.
Yeah. Like, I speak Ga. I speak Chi.
Right.
But like, when it comes to that, it's always English.
I mean, but can you imagine though? It happens.
It does.
I guess it does, right? It does.
And then those who use Pidgin too,
Because through, like you're saying, through our pornographic socialization, there's been a few porn flicks that have come out in Chi.
Wakiki.
Yes, the fridge repairer.
Oh, wow. Some of you are going to act like you don't know what we are talking about.
Yeah, and some people have like illegally recorded their partners. Oh, there was a time when one thing had been leaked where this woman was very vocal during sex. And it was really interesting to see how like a typical Ashanti woman is vocal during sex. Mm. And that shit is the most mind-blowing thing I've ever heard in my life. You know, I felt a certain connection, like I would never be able to connect like this in any other way. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I understand.
It's this is beyond my wildest kind of, you know, I would never go there.
Yeah.
Know? Yeah.
My last question.
Oh no.
Oh, come on. once again, I'm referencing this Atu interview because I've watched that interview no less than maybe 20 something times. No. You guys have no idea. You see, the thing that I appreciate about Talking Boys and you and One Love is the Ghanaianness that you bring into the stuff that you do. If you watch Cause of Money, right? It's the little things like going to the chow bar to go and eat, somebody not being able to afford meat, like all those things.
Do you know that rhymed?
Oh, really?
Going to the chop bar to go and eat.
Somebody that cannot afford meat. Hey, listen. I'll be like VIP when they added Red Rocks to the fucking boys featuring Joe. no, that's it. So it's, and I think I came to this appreciation because we get a lot of Ghanaians living outside who say they love the podcast because I speak a lot of Tree on it. And they're like, it reminds us of Ghana so much.
Absolutely.
The Vox Pops.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. So I feel the same every time I'm watching it. It's like, it's done well, but it reminds you that these are Ghanaian isms, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, in that interview, I asked to advise young people and you said, give up.
Don't bother yourself.
I just want to say, now that we live in a great country and there's no light off, especially in Dansoman. We have barely ever experienced that shit, especially during my side.
There's one big generator on the Dansoman main runabout.
It powers us.
Powers the whole Dansoman.
Yeah, so now that the place is, what is your new advice to the young people?
Move to Dansoman. There's no light off. I guess, I don't know, man. My advice to the young people is, you know what? Keep doing what you're doing. And don't lose your life over no bullshit for these politicians, like what's going on in Kenya.
Mm.
Don't.
Speak more on that. Why shouldn't they?
Because these politicians are not worth it. They're not worth your lives. Just do what you're doing. We hope they all die very soon because they're old anyway. And they're all a bunch of geriatrics. Because I don't... No. Let's say this because I'm tired. So let me just be belligerent. How is it that... What is the retirement age in this country?
60.
So why is it that our current president is how many years and still...
Power.
And still like running. And you cannot even have a job at Ghana Water and Sewerage after 65.
Uh-huh.
But you can have a job controlling and running the entire country at what age? What's your...
I don't know what your president's age.
It's got nothing to do with the guy.
Yeah.
It just shows you...
Mm-hmm.
That we're doing it all wrong and that we're so not invested in the youth. And any country that is not invested in youth is destined for failure. It's as simple as that.
They always say that, but the children are the future.
We just sing it to be R&B.
And then when the future comes, you guys don't want to do what you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just lyrics Mika Kane used to. And I'm sorry if I offended anybody, but it's not about your politics. I don't care about that. I'm talking about really... Like giving a chance, because Ghana. I know.
Don't get worked up. You know, let me cool your heart. Do you remember the different meanings you guys give to ECG at the end of Cause of Money 2?
Oh, give me one of them, please.
Electricity comes and goes. Either candle or generator. Economically crippling Ghana. Everyday confusing Ghanaians. Eche Kotigono. Emmanuel called Gabriel. You guys are crazy. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that we're going to end on a high note. Yes. This has been our interview with Mensa Ansa, a great artist here from Ghana who's done so much.
Thank you.
So much in the scene, contributed so much to the sound. Make sure you're checking for him. Check all his projects out and look out for Fola that's coming out soon. You know what it is? It's Sincerely Accra. I always say, hey, support your own. Don't complain about the lack of supports. Support your own. Just do your part. Because y'all like to spend too much time complaining about what is not there when you know that you wield the power to do what you can do to change the narrative. It's been Sincerely Accra. I'm going to get through this outro without making a mistake. Watch. Okay. My name is Joseph N.T. I host this podcast. I want to give a quick shout out to the Gold Coast Report. That's the GCR Network, premier podcast hosting network in the whole Ghana. And a quick shout out to my co-creator and producer, Mr. Kwame Asante-Ofori. I love you. Keep checking for us and we'll catch you on the next one.
Sano, cause baby I'm fine.
Report production.